Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. We just praise you, Lord, for all the work that you're doing in us. Lord, we just ask and we pray for your continual grace and mercy upon us. We thank you, Lord, that tonight's going to be an awesome night because you're leading us. And I praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing. The open heaven, that when we pray, we know they're answered immediately. And we praise you and we glorify you for all the prayers that have already been answered and the ones that are in the tank ready to be said, because we know you already know what it's going to be. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Anybody got a prayer request? I'm going to have to find yours, Jeff. Okay. Go ahead, Geneva. Oh, Missy, I'll get you in a minute.
Hey, just real quick, if we could all just pray and everybody agree with me that Micah is going to have a bowel movement, because it's been a few days. I know I've prayed this before, but I just rebuke her, like, straining. And I've had some other people say some things to me that I didn't like, so I just want to come against all that. In Jesus' name. But anyways, Lord, thank you, Father, for all things. Thank you for always taking care of this little girl and just taking care of your children always, Father. And Lord, I know you love the little children. And God, I just thank you that in Jesus' name, she is relieved of any pain, any stress to her bowels or her digestive system, God. And Lord, I thank you, Father, that she is a comfortable baby and she is happy and healthy, and all the children on here are, Lord. And I thank you, God, for everybody having great health on here in Jesus' name. And I just thank you, Father, that she is going to go very soon in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that it is done in Jesus' name.
Amen. We command Micah's bowels to be loosed in the name of Jesus. And we pray for her that she is. Be getting ready, fixing to be one, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. All right, anyone else? Okay, Missy, go ahead. Yep, amen. We do, Sheila.
I found out something that I forgot about. I did and I didn't. Anyway, my driver's license renewal was due back in March. And I didn't get a renewal. It hit me today, long story short. And I looked at my license. I'm like, oh my gosh. So it's been overdue for over 3 months now. And thank God I didn't get pulled over or nothing like that, or have to show my license or whatever. And so I'm like horrified, you know, and I didn't ever see one. And I looked to see if there was one laying in around, you know, the desk where the mail gets put and everything. I didn't find anything. So it looks like they didn't even send me one. They're supposed to. And so I have to go tomorrow, and I'm just praying that I don't have any issues with getting it renewed since it's so late. And I don't know what hoops I'm going to have to jump through. So I'm taking my birth certificate and my social security card and my old expired license. And so, Father, I just ask the Lord that I have everything that I need, that I don't have to come home and get anything or do anything. And And if they require me to take an eye test, Lord, I declare and decree that I'm going to pass it with flying colors in Jesus' name. And that's not even going to be an issue. And so I thank you, Lord, for doing that. And thank you, Lord, for Merle agreeing with me in prayer earlier. The enemy was just attacking me with condemnation and anxiety and fear over the whole thing. And it's all gone. And I praise you and I thank you, Lord, for that. Amen. And I'd like to pray for my mom and my dad. Get you all to agree with me. Lord, I just pray that you put rest in my mom and help her to behave herself and to do what she's supposed to do and not do what she's not supposed to do, and in her back being healed up, and help her to know, Lord, that she can rely on you and depend on you, and that there's things that can just do without, and show her, Lord, how to rest and cut things out in her life to simplify her life, that there's so many things that aren't necessary, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for putting faith in my mom and dad both, Lord. And I believe, Lord, that they will totally trust in you here very soon, Lord, to be their savior in all things, including their health in particular, Lord. And I just thank you for doing that and bring a great restoration and bring them out from among out from the apostasy. Thank you, Lord, for doing it. It's done in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. I believe it too. I hook my faith up with her, and I believe it is done in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Anyone else? Anyone else? I had a text today from somebody. I'm waiting.
I got a prayer request, Michael. Anybody else, if y'all want to agree with me. Yeah, the Lord's been dealing with me on some things lately, and you know, I just, I'd like you all just kind of, you know, agree with me. So something I've kind of been meaning to say the least, bring up here, but, you know, I think that's what I want to pray about, but, you know, even pray for some other folks. But, yeah. Can you hear me? I got a fan in the background. I don't know if you guys can hear me.
Yeah, no, okay. The fan's not bothering us.
Okay, perfect. I wasn't sure if that was overpower or anything, but okay. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for this group, Lord. You know, I just want to come to you here. I thank you for all these people here. Thank you, Lord, that I found a group that, you know, this few, it's about half and half. There's some people I really don't know. Some people are brand new, last couple of weeks of my life. Some I've known before. You know, many know my testimony. Many know where I've come from. The ones who've known me for a little more longer have seen the difference that you've done, Lord, and I thank you for that. I thank you for the quick work. I was talking to Brother Bill Steenland, just earlier there by text. And I like how lately, just within the last couple of months, I've seen the sin, it seems like it just falls off. The overcoming power, you know, your grace you've given me in certain areas. You've delivered me from schizophrenia. I revisited, Lord, that recent revelation in my life. I've seen the destruction, you know, the damage it did for all those years. But Lord, you freed me from it. You've even freed me from the pharmakia that for years I trusted in, Lord, because, you know, I didn't understand, you know, until then I didn't understand that, you know, in the brain, there is no chemical imbalance. There is no, you know, well, there is an imbalance, as you would say, but, you know, I understood things from the world's perspective. You know, I understood things the way the demons told me, Lord, but then I found out what it was and you delivered me. You've delivered me from all the unforgiveness, you know, the impatience, the hatred. And Lord, I just, but I thank you most of all, not just for a group of loving people. You know, that's one of the things. But in this group, we understand grace, Lord, with one another, you know, one another's shortcomings. Something I never truly understood, Lord. Something I truly never even understood when I was in the apostate church. You know, I don't know if anyone else here has, you know, understood that. But for me, it just, I was such a legalistic, factious individual that grace was such a foreign idea. Love, even love, you know, most of all, was such a foreign idea. But Lord, you've taught me these things. And so, Lord, I just ask, you know, for your deliverance in my area, in this area of my life, Lord, that, Lord, not to be afraid, you know, just to speak up, not to be afraid to ask for prayer, not to be afraid to be vulnerable with people. No one here, you know, rejects me. No one here has any intentions like those in my past had of intentionally trying to hurt me, you know, intentionally trying to mislead me, intentionally trying to speak against me. That's not the case here, Lord. I thank you. You continually reassured me, you know, and you continually shown me it's, I have nothing to fear, you know, no rejection, no nothing. There's nothing but love. You know, there's grace here, Lord, because it's because you're here. And so Lord, I thank you for that deliverance in my life. I thank you that as an individual, as a part of your body, Lord Jesus, you know, I have a role to play. You've shown me over the last couple of years what that is. You're continually molding me. You've got a great work almost done, like everybody else, I'm sure. And so, Lord, help me at times when I need to step out, to share, to pray, to encourage, whatever. Help me not to hold back anymore. Help me not to listen to the enemy that wants to say, well, you know, that for too long, you know, caused me to look at people and just examine their, you know, their accountants, examine their what's the word? You know, just examine them with my carnal eyes. No, I thank you, Lord, that it's, those lies are not true. They've never been true. And I now, more and more, you're showing me it's not true. Just, you know, be yourself, be you, and just everything will be fine. So I thank you, Lord, for that deliverance. I thank you, Lord, for what you're making me into. I thank you for what you're making all of us into, Father. The image of your Son, loving, gentle, kind, patient people, patient vessels that are full of love, that are full of compassion. And we'll reach out to whomever you send us to, Lord. And I have coworkers that I have family that you've recently in my life distanced me from. And Lord, you have a work to do in them. And I see the day is getting darker. I see things ramping up, judgments increasing. So Lord, through these judgments, through these shakings, get their attention, Lord. Whether they be a Christian who just is stuck in apostasy or whether they're a lost person. Each and every one of us here has people like that in our lives, Lord. Family who's lost, family who's stuck in apostasy and doesn't know any better. Lord, begin and or continue the work, the shaking, the humbling, that breaking that you once did in my own life to get their attention, Lord, to let them see what's important in life. Let them see what has become of their life, you know, most of all. And through that, Lord, salvation will come. We thank you. The great salvation will come through all of it. In the name of Jesus, I pray all these things, and I believe, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for the work you've done in jail and all of us. Thank you, Father, for putting love in our heart, taking out all the stuff in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Joe.
Amen.
All right. Anybody else?
Amen.
All right, let me see if I could get this thing up here. All right. Joe B. Brits. He says this, I want to start with what I have experienced over the last few months. When someone at the fellowship talks about healing, I often wonder why I can trust the Lord for healing for myself but not for other people. There was no real urgency in me to pay attention to it. I just had to remind myself to put more word in my heart. And he, in quotation, faith cometh of hearing, hearing by the word. I regularly pray for wisdom and discernment to use the knowledge Father gives me to bring glory to his name. On Saturday night, the 18th of June, while praying, the Lord gave me this vision. I see a dove and I hear one step at a time. While reflecting on this vision, I asked for a word by faith at random and received Isaiah 11:16. And there shall be a highway for the remnant of his people that shall remain from Assyria, like as there was for Israel in the day that he came up out of the land of Egypt. My understanding of this vision, let the word / Holy Spirit guide you step by step. Don't get ahead of yourself. Meditate more. Then on Sunday morning fellowship, 19th of June, Michael gives us some questions we can look at, discuss on Wednesday morning fellowship. It's about healing. Someone who lives in sin and does not acknowledge it is sin, etc. I'm starting to look at the questions, but looking at it too technically. I stopped and listened to the Sunday night Bible study. I started to work on it again on Tuesday night, 21st of June. During my search on the UBM website, I found the answer I'm looking for in one of Claire's dreams, as I understand it, and I have been wondering about it. David's interpretation of that part of the dream. The title of it is Rotten Fruit Everywhere / Seek the Lord First, Claire Pignard. This is only part of the dream. This person was pressuring me the whole time to help the young girl. And I eventually said to her, I need to go up to my apartment and ask the Lord Jesus Christ what I should do. My life is not my own. I knew that if I laid hands on her, she'd be healed. But I wasn't sure if I was supposed to do it yet. David says, we must always make sure we are being led by the Spirit when we pray for others or lay hands on them for healing. Because if we don't, we could bring disrepute upon the name of Jesus, and it would be a bad witness to others. We must learn to deal with the cause before dealing with the effect. For instance, if a person has unforgiveness, the Father has turned them over to the tormentors. And these are there to bring the person to repentance, as in Matthew 18:34-35. I have seen and heard a lot of people being healed, but there is no talk of confession, cause and effect, etc. Anyway, I felt the Lord was leading me to present what I read in the dream in the fellowship, 22nd June. I know my explanation was not good when asked about it. I just knew I'm missing something, and I'm not sure what to think of it. I could not match those two parts, David's answer above and what was discussed Wednesday with each other. Maybe too much self. I then decided to send Rion an email, ask for help to understand. I can understand now that the Lord uses this situation to correct me and get me to ask for help. Confessed, too much self? I got an answer that I needed to hear after the fellowship from Rion. Pretty good answer at the bottom of this email. This is a step for me in the right direction regarding healing others. In my quiet time Thursday morning, my verse for the day that the Lord gave me, Luke 5 and 19, and not finding by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went up to the housetop and let him down through the tiles with his couch into the midst of before Jesus. Jesus heals a paralytic healing. Thank you, Father, for the correction and reminding me to take it one step at a time. God's time is always perfect. Thank you all for your patience with me. Rion's answer to me. I agree with what David said here. You see movements, like, for example, the last Reformation of Portland going into streets and walking around, laying hands on everyone and everything without any discernment, and those healings typically don't last. Sometimes they are demonic manifestations that brings disrepute to the name of Jesus. We know what the word says, what the promises are, and what our authority in Christ is. And at the same time, we are also guided by the Holy Spirit because our life is not our own. Also, in this dream, it is talking about rotten fruit. These are people that have borne fruit, but the fruit got rotten. Thus, they are believers, part of the body. They have that knowledge already. In that we use discernment, we ask the Lord if something is hindering them from healing, because we know the word says all who ask and believes are healed. If we don't use discernment with these factious, rebellious believers, then if we just lay hands on them without discernment, they might impart those spirits to us. This is the problem with hypothetical questions. We can become Pharisees. Jesus did not entertain these hypothetical questions much. He put it to bed very quickly and cleverly. They could never trick him, regards Rion. After I have finished typing, while I pray, Father reminds me of my feet. For a few weeks now, it feels like the bottom of my feet is burning. The burning feeling is gone, praise the Lord. What a wonderful God we serve. Okay. There it is.
Thank you, Michael.
Yeah. Did you want to comment on it, Joe?
But that was a good eye opener for me, the way the Lord guide me to show me I have to things I'm not correct on, to correct me on. He guided me through this and not being by myself. Maybe I, what I'm said here quite a couple of times is maybe I'm, because I'm by myself, but really nobody to ask except for on the conference call. So it's the best for me is to do it this way. And that's the way the Lord did it for me. So I've just confessed about not doing it earlier, but I'm sure it's a Lord's timing now for me. That's all I do.
Okay. Anybody else? Yeah, Dave.
So what did we figure out? We figure out that we're allowed to pray for people even if they don't have their act together right. I mean, we're allowed to, I mean, as far as healing goals and all that, I mean, we're still, it's a ministry of grace, not ministry of looking for whether they got all their I's dotted and their T's crossed before we give them a prayer. That's kind of where we're at, right?
Well, I guess that depends upon you, yourself, where you are in Christ.
Right, right.
If you if you believe what the word says in that regard, go for it.
Right. I mean, if the door is open, I guess I'm saying, and the opportunity's there, we're not going to try to qualify a person for a prayer or for healing. We're just going to, if they need prayer, if they want prayer, if they want to have a prayer of faith with us, we just go about and do our business.
There's a difference in what we talked about last week and what Torben does. There's a lot of difference in what we do and what Torben does.
I guess, I don't know. Go ahead and explain. I didn't catch that, I guess.
Well, just like Joe said, he goes out there and prays for people out on the street, which is fine, but then you have to disciple them. You can't just leave them out there in the wild and think that that's what he does. He walks away from them.
Oh, Torben?
Yeah, I think that's his name.
Oh yeah, we're off.
He goes. He just goes for, and most of his healings are just pain going away, if not all of them. There's no raising of the dead, or any of that kind of stuff. You know, it's just how can you say it? Surface stuff.
Maybe that's his faith, though.
Well, whatever.
Just saying. You know, I don't know if I could have a faith right now if somebody died that, hey, you got to go pray for this person, bring him back to life. Oh.
Well, I'll tell you something. Yeah. Here's the key to a successful healing ministry. That's enduring in your faith. If you just go out there, I'll tell you, the Lord taught me that a long time ago. And the way he taught me was he wanted me to go. I had a friend of mine call me and wanted me to go with him to go pray for a couple of teenage boys that had been killed in a car wreck, or motorcycle wreck, or whatever it was. That's been many, many years ago. And we went out there and spent about an hour praying for them, and nothing happened, so we took off. That's not the way you do it. You stick with it. If the Lord told you to go bring them up out of a casket, you better make sure that it's the Lord. And if it's the Lord, you stay there until the Lord pulls them out.
I mean, that you just said it. The Lord's going to send. We just don't do it on our own, right?
No, not in those kind of situations like that. No, you got to have some discernment.
All right.
You got to have some discernment. If you don't have discernment, and what I'm talking about is discernment, is knowing that the Spirit's leading you. And when people say you have to be led by the Spirit before you pray for somebody, that's a cop out. And by that I mean you're led by the Spirit, and the Spirit is the Word of God also. Okay, let me take care of some of these hands here. Julie, I think you were first. Go ahead.
Thank you. Yeah, just kind of to add what you said, Michael, there were a period of time where the Lord had me praying for people in my, you know, just my everyday, day-to-day life, you know, coming and going to work and stuff. And there was an instance where I was sitting, I was on the trolley, which is a, you know, just commuting to work. I was on my way to work. I can't remember if I was on, no, I was on my way home. But this young man, I didn't see it happen, but there was some commotion happening and stuff. And I looked to see what was going on, and wasn't that far from me, but I just didn't see anything happen. But apparently the guy started having seizures. So they were clearing out the area for him and laid him down on the bench seat. And, you know, I could see then that he was having seizures, and I was just praying in the spirit, and I was asking, Lord, what do I do? You know, what do I do? You know, because, you know, there's no help there on the trolley. And then there was somebody, there was a call button up, and somebody hit the call button, and, you know, that was just like a two-way speaker thing. But they were just conversing with the driver and just saying that we need you know, the MTs, and we need help. This guy's having, you know, convulsions or whatever. So they apparently then they contacted. So at the next stop, there would be paramedics there. And it happened to be at the college. So they were there. It was very quick. So that was really good. But as I was sitting there just praying the spirit and watching, you know, and, you know, I just like, I felt so not helpless, but helpless, because I wanted to, I knew I could go over there and do something. I wanted to, but I just sensed the Lord just saying no. And he goes, you will know what to do. You will know what to do when the time comes. You will know what to do. In other words, he didn't want me to do anything, but I was really wanting to, you know. There's a bunch of people standing around, you know, everyone hovering over and trying to give him air. And I'm just like, okay, right. Not dealt with this one before. I don't know. How do you, you know, take authority over the seizures, you know, whatever. But I was just listening, trying to listen to the Lord. And I didn't have faith to get up and do anything. So when you don't have faith to do anything and you're not certain, don't do anything. And I was definitely praying in the spirit for him. But I did hear the Lord say, you will know. He said, don't worry about it. There were other times where there were just one-on-one, you know, people he would just bring to me, and the anointing was there. God's presence was there. The conversation was easy. It was the Lord. So, you know, it's like, you just know. If you don't know, then there's something hindering you from doing it. And so you don't do anything. I think a lot of that was for me, it was just learning. You know, a lot of learning. You know, we're going to be prepared. And the best thing what the Lord has been telling me is, you know, is just always ask, you know, in your heart, in your mind, Lord, is there anything I can do here? Is there something you want me to do here in my mind? Because he knows everybody. He knows circumstances. He knows if I had gotten involved and then, you know, people getting in the way, you know, what, you know, I don't know, but just be listening to the Lord, asking, watching. There were other times where I would just be looking to see, okay, is this person a believer? Or do I have any, you know, do I have authority here? Is this person going to be receptive to me? You know, and looking for little signs, like, are they wearing a cross? What kind of, you know, whatever, some kind of symbolism that they might be displaying or showing to know, or getting into a conversation with somebody. And, you know, just being led of the Lord is just listening for the voice of the Lord, learning to what, you know, and being observant, what's going on around you. But if the faith isn't there, if you have doubt or you have fear or worry, it's like you don't have the boldness to do anything. So then you don't. And I know that was a learning thing for me too, because I wanted to say something. It was all one on, you know, it's just all individual, you know. We're going to be ready when the time comes. We're going to have that anointing. So that gives me a lot. I think that's what the Lord was telling me too. It's like, you're going to know.
Amen. Amen. All right, Andrew.
So I'm sort of, we're all talking about praying for people that are unsaved, but I have a friend, his name's Jake, and before I was saved, he would come to me and he would try and like witness to me and teach me about God and stuff, which was pretty crazy, because now it's kind of like reversed now, because I think he's sort of losing himself in, because he does like jujitsu, which is kind of like karate. So I feel like he kind of like lost himself in that. And, you know, like he says he still believes and he prays, and he doesn't read the Bible anymore because he doesn't think it's important. And I can kind of feel like he's he's losing that because he used to be so on fire for God. And he used to go up to me in public and just start talking about it before I was saved. And I was like, dude, I don't know about any of this. And now it's just, he's so not that anymore. And I can tell, like, I can sense, I don't want to say I'm sensing it, but I see, like, there's like a different spirit about him now. He's very prideful now. And it's just, how do I go about trying to want him to want to know the knowledge of God? I want him to want that more. And I don't really know, like, how I've prayed. And, you know, I keep, like, whenever I message him, I say, read the Bible and keep praying. But I don't know what else I can do. I'm wondering if I can get some guidance on that.
I'll tell you what I would do. And praying is the right way. That's the right way to go about it. But you break the power of that karate off of. If that's his idol right now, you need to break that off of him, break the power of Satan off of it, and that God would open up his eyes to see the spiritual aspects of what he's doing. You did say he was into karate now, didn't you?
Jiu-jitsu, yeah. It's fighting and whatever.
Yeah, that's a spirit. That's a spirit. I remember the testimony of some people that were into that. Many years ago, real good teacher now on healing, and the spirits came out of him when he came to Jesus in a mighty way. The spirits are bad, but anyway, that's what I'll do. I just break the power of Satan off of him, declare and decree him to come into the kingdom, and then ask the Lord to grant repentance to him, and he'll be in.
Guaranteed.
Just believe it. Okay, let's see. Patrick. Yeah, wait a minute. Hang on. Julie says we need to pray for him right now. We can do that. You want to pray for him, Ben? Just
burn the love to. I would love to.
Okay, go ahead. We'll believe with you, brother.
Lord God, I come to you. I pray for my brother Jake. Lord God, help him find his salvation again. Lord God, I ask that you refill him with the Holy Spirit and that any demons that are within him be casted out, any prideful, any spirits that are not supposed to be there, for he is above them. Let him realize that he is a true child of God and remind him of his salvation, that he is above these spirits and that he is sitting on the right hand of God with you. In Jesus' name, and no more demons shall be within him. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Lord, we hook our faith up a bit. We believe it's so. Jake, you come on back into the kingdom in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay, Pat.
So I want to actually, Ben's kind of give an example there. And when Joe was answering or questioning his own experience in there, or talking about his own experience, and went back to the questions that we asked in the meeting about healing, and I think maybe everybody took a little bit something different from that. That aspect, but there's kind of one thing that it kind of forms in me, and that is you have almost a little more freedom of grace, I think, to pray for or let's just say the lost or those that don't know God. Because it gets a little more complicated when you are dealing with people that have had a relationship or had an experience or been in a church, been in a, you know, the religious system, and of course with all of that you know, there's a certain amount of baggage there that and beliefs that really undercut and hinder any of God's work, basically. But one of the things that, I mean, even when Ben was talking about Jake, it seems like there's probably the resting there that he's maybe resting in the same philosophy as much of the church, modern day church, has, and that is the salvation is that initial repentance and faith, and boom, you're into the kingdom. And the walking out and working out of that process it never seems to be as important or significant, when in fact it is absolutely just as important. I mean, obviously it doesn't do you any good to walk in discipleship, so to speak, without Christ or without the Holy Spirit or without making that transaction with God through the born again experience. However, the flip side of that's the same. You can start that, you know, just think about how many babies would grow to maturity in life if they were just set out there on the sidewalk and said, go for it, you know, go for it in peace and, you know, God bless you. Well, they just like human babies have to be raised and fed, and they have to learn to desire the sincere milk of the word and just keep pouring it in and pouring it in and raising that awareness of what's in God's word and what God would have them do and experience that relationship and experience that until a process of time happens. And then you start to, this word that you're seeing and believing starts to work on you and starts to expose some of those things within yourself. And that's, you know, where you have to push on through and keep finding the word that is going to save you through that process. Michael had a good good example a couple teachings back on faith, and one of those was kind of a saying that it really made sense, and that is milk is, maybe you can help me, Michael, on this, but milk is receiving and eating the word, but the meat is doing the word. And of course, that second part of doing the word is the missing element that is evident in all of the apostasy. Even that person that we were talking about before, I'd never heard of him or whatever, but he just goes out and prays for everybody and then walks off. Well, I mean, you know, maybe he's led of the Lord. I'm not sure, but there could be an aspect of that in there. I'm just getting these guys into the kingdom, so it's up to God to do the rest, you know. So I'm going to pray them in, and boom, I move on to the next one, and you know, knock that ticker off of my belt, and I'll have a nice trophy at the end. I think, I don't know what's behind all that, but I'm sure there's the thinking that the most important part is that entrance into the kingdom, and after that it's all, you know, we'll just do the best we can do, and you know, trying to make it happen. And obviously, when people start to experience these things within themselves that they can't answer, that doesn't align up with this aspect of, you know, once saved, I've been saved. I shouldn't have this stuff. I'm saved. I shouldn't be experiencing or seeing these things within me. And, you know, their theology doesn't know how to handle, you know, process that problem. So, but anyway, I think I'm, so that being said, I think I'm still settled on the fact of extending mercy and prayer and prayer for healing, etc., to those that God brings my way and opens a door, and to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit related to those that are, you know, more that have already entered into the system, shall we say. May need to kind of discern and see, because in those people's lives, it may very well be, like the example was given, that there's a forgiveness issue that they need to get over here first. Maybe the Lord is bringing this, you know, certain things God brings into our lives, no doubt, to bring course correction into our lives. So if you have confessed God, you've repented of your sin, and you've moved into that realm, shall we say, and you're walking in that way, then one of the things you have to realize is that God, the reproofs of correction are the way of life, and God brings those things into our lives for correction. And if you are or those that some that might come to you is ignorant of that fact, then, you know, there may need to be some enlightenment or some further discussion before you get into healing. I think that's only what I think, but anyway, I think I'll stop there and let it go at that.
Okay. All right, well, one thing, and I'm just going to throw this out there, one thing that the Lord wants us is to do is to always be ready in season and out of season. It makes no difference. You should be seeking the Lord every day. You should be getting next to the Lord every day. You should be talking to Him. You should be praying. I know sometimes it's not feasible because of work or whatever. But if you're ready in season and out of season, you'll be able to do what many people have done before. What happens if a guy has a heart attack? Do you stop and ask him if he's saved? If he's got any unforgiveness in his heart, any of that stuff? No. You do like we do. You go down and you pray for him and you believe for him, and God brings him back. I've seen that happen. I wasn't the one praying. It was a friend of mine that was praying. A guy fell, had a heart attack right at work, fell down. And he immediately, I was in my office, which was probably 100 foot away. And Jackie was right there. Jackie just immediately jumped down on Ernest, put his hand on it, started commanding him to breathe, started commanding life to come back into him, and he came back alive. That quick. And so that's what I'm saying. You ain't got time to sit there and ask somebody all those questions. A lot of times that happens. I pulled into my house to go to my house in the street where my house was on. I saw the ambulance there at my friend, my neighbor's house. I stopped and I found out what was wrong. He had a stroke in the bathroom, and he was sitting there just in a wheelchair. They had wheeled him out, fixed him, put him in the ambulance, take him off. Then I asked him, I said, you want me to pray for you? His name was Leland. And Leland shook his head, yeah, and said, I prayed for him. He come out of the wheelchair. You have to be ready at all times. When you're ready at all times, those questions don't come up. You just react and bring people's lives back together. Okay, Rayon, go ahead, brother.
Thanks, Michael. I know I'm at work, but I thought as Julie was talking and now you're sharing this testimony, I just want to share a testimony as well, something that happened long ago. Can you all hear me okay? I sometimes have issues with the mic. Okay. It was many years ago. I was just getting into Sovereign God, and a friend of mine was working with me, and he also just got into Sovereign God, and we were fired up for the Lord and just talking about these things all the time. But we were at a work dinner at a restaurant, very fancy restaurant. Claire was there with me actually as well that night, and we had this separate separate room, you know, the private function room. And as we were having dinner, we had this commotion in the rest of the restaurant. We don't know what's going on. And immediately, my friend's name is Niku. Immediately, he knew something was going on as well. And him and I got up and we went out. And Claire said, "You guys got to go. Something's happening." And we don't know what was going on. And as you came into the other side of the restaurant, there was this big man. Oh, he was big, and he choked on a piece of food, and they couldn't get this piece of food out. And he was big. They took when Nico and I arrived, and we were watching what was going on. He was blue in his face, and they had these. I think it took like three men to lift him up by his feet to shaking. Because they had tried, you know, getting it out, and it just didn't want to come out. It took three men pick him up and try and shake this man to try and get this. Whatever it was, we didn't know what it was. Obviously, something was stuck in him, and eventually they put him down on the floor. You know, kind of gave up. You know, someone phoned the ambulance and just left him there. And Nico and I walked in, and we just said we just got to pray. And him and I were quietly just standing in the restaurant there, and we just commanded. And it didn't take long. It took like one or two seconds for him and I to agree. And I'm not saying this to puff us up, because we were just so young in the Lord. We just thought anything was possible, right? And we just said, whatever's in there, come out in the name of Jesus. And nobody heard us. It was just between him and me. And this man is lying on his back like this. And, you know, he was already finished. And this piece of meat just went, it just popped out of his mouth and jumped next to him and lay next to him. This thing was, I don't know, 2 inches by 2 inches. It was a big piece of meat. It was just unbelievable. His mother was in the restaurant as well. She was in the corner crying. She wasn't looking. She was looking away. And we went with her. We prayed with her, and we said, "Your son's gonna be okay." They load him up in the ambulance. We went back to our function and told Claire what happened. And quietly, you know, and everyone's going, "Oh, what happened? Oh, the guy choked, but he's okay. We just said he's gonna be fine." And we just believe that he's going to be absolutely okay. And we heard later that this man was there every night. He eats like that. He drinks, you know, wine, like he's just a complete glutton, basically. And that's they've warned that this is going to happen. They've warned him that this was going to happen before. And this we didn't. So I don't know what happened to him after that. But we know that he's 100% healed and saved. They say he had no brain damage, absolutely nothing. Yeah, the reason I shared is, I think David talks about this a lot, is that we mustn't forget when we were brand new, full of faith, we just believed that it can happen. We mustn't, I think we try and we see so many things. I've been in other situations where we were called into a suicide, someone who hanged themselves in one of the complexes that we used to live in. And there were people there, and we had to do CPR and all that stuff while you wait for the medics, and there were people, you know, crying and freaking out. And there were other Christians there who said, "We should pray for him to come back." And I just quietly, I heard the Lord say to me, "No, he's not, you know, he's long gone. We're not going to pray for him to come back." And I think the point I want to make is that we should have that readiness or that fervent faith that we had from the beginning, and not be looking at things only with our eyes and say, "Oh, but we've seen too many times, so we should be led by the Holy Spirit." But I think that's, in both those cases, it's being led by the Holy Spirit. But we shouldn't be reluctant or afraid or not remember the authority that we have. We have the authority, and it's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and not what we see with our eyes take some of that faith away, and then start asking these questions, or when should we pray, or when do people get healed, and all of that. You know, we just have that childlike, trying as much as possible, always have that childlike faith to be, you know, running in, doing the things that we just, you know, just believe, not try and get too much into laws and doctrines and hypothetical situations and things like that. That's the. I mean, it's great to talk about it because it helps us understand what does the word actually say, and we should be growing and maturing in our knowledge and be wiser, wise like serpents, harmless as doves all the time. But remember those times where that didn't matter what we knew back then. We knew nothing back then. We just knew that the Lord was answering things left, right, and center as we were asking him to reveal things for Nico and myself. He did it. And so we had no doubt that he was going to do that. But it wasn't about us. It wasn't about making a show of it. It wasn't about putting a testimony that we can share in church or anything like that. It was really just love for that man at that moment to say, "This everybody's given up, but we know what our God's going to do for this man." And that's it, you know. And that's it doesn't mean it happens in every situation. Like Julia, what you shared is that you led by the Spirit as well to go, well, no, you don't pray at this time. You don't have that faith. You don't have that for that moment. And that's okay. That's still being led by the Spirit. You still prayed, and you still prayed in the Spirit. And our family has been in situations like that before as well, where something would happen, and we would sit, and the kids would say, "What are you guys going to do? Are you going to go pray? You're going to say, well, let's pray and ask the Lord right now." And we would know. We'd say, "No, we'll pray here as a family, and we will leave." And we've seen that happen many times. And I think the Lord, in those instances, said, "No, it's not about you, and it's not about you becoming a show or something. It's still about that person." I'm sure the Lord met him when he was out, and his life must be changed. I'm sure there must be a reason for that. Yeah.
Amen. I believe it too, because he was dead, wasn't he? If y'all yeah,
had there was minutes. Dead. There was a lot of minutes that went by that they've tried where he didn't have oxygen to him. And that's why they gave up. No, they weren't even doing CPR or anything. Yeah, they just gave up. It was so big. I've no doubt. People couldn't believe it. There was like, whoa, this thing just jumped out of his mouth.
Praise the Lord.
And he's fine. it was awesome. It was awesome.
Amen. He is. He's an awesome guy. Go ahead, Dave.
Quite the sight there. Hey, I was going to talk about Ben's friend. What's his name again?
His name's Jake.
Jake. You know, I was in martial arts for about 6 years. And I would have been a marginal Christian up to that point in my life, you know. So I, you know, you have understanding of what God is. But I'm sure he probably doesn't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit yet. Otherwise, he wouldn't be there. But my guess, and I could be wrong, but, you know, when people get involved in martial arts, it's because they have fear. There's something that motivated them to be there because they feel like they need to be able to protect themselves. And they're finding out how it is they can not be hurt. And they're going to find out. And what happens too when you get involved in those groups is now you're in a group and everybody's kind of working together. And it's almost like a church environment because you kind of become part of something. And you have this fellowship. And that becomes part of it too. Now you got this fellowship thing going with these people you're with. And you're doing something in common. You have these goals and you have all that going on and the encouragement. And so that becomes like a substitute for what would be, we would know as church to a degree. Now, for him, And I'm not saying you go up and tell them, hey, you know what? You fear something and you've got rejection. That's why you're doing this. No, you don't want to go up and say that to them. But there's something that scared him and made him fearful in his life where he wants to protect himself. And now he's doing this. And it gives you kind of you start getting a little bit, like you said, pride, but you feel like you have that aura. You feel like you've got a little, you know, something around you now that you didn't have before that's protecting you, because now you have this control of your environment, because that's what martial arts does. It gives you control, physical control around your environment. So he's got that aura about him now. But inside, he's got this spiritual emptiness, and he's going to have to come to that point and realize there's emptiness here. And it's not the same thing I was driving for when I was running for God. All right. That's kind of what really kind of helped me get away from martial arts, was there was an emptiness there that I wasn't being addressed, and it was not having the Lord in my life, you know. So I think those are the things we need to pray on, is for him to see that there's something missing. And even though he's got this idea of a power and a control now, but there's still something missing inside him that he needs, and God's what he needs to fulfill that. And partly also, not with the fear, there's probably some kind of unforgiveness there, because he's angry. He might be angry about something in his life. Somebody hurt him or whatever, but he feels like now he's got to protect himself. He's angry, even though he doesn't think so. He probably has some kind of maybe unforgiveness possibly. And all this is a protectionism. This is how he's protecting himself from this environment, this world that hurt him. So what was his name again? I'm sorry, I didn't write it down.
His name's Jake.
Jake. Let's pray for Jake. Father, Jake, you know, he came to you one time and he's still there. We know that. Deep down inside, you know that. And there was something that drove him to you before, and it was probably crying out to you, his heart, you know, all he was, and trying to search you out and find you. But they don't realize, and most people don't, it's a process, it's a walk, it's a learning thing. You learn about yourself, what you need to correct, and you learn about you in a process, learn about what you're all about, God, how to walk and talk in the kingdom and be with you. We pray this for Jake, Lord, that he realizes that there's this spiritual emptiness that he does not have with jiu-jitsu, that he's not fulfilling that desire to have you, that's what he wants. He wants that desire of you in his heart. He's not really getting that. He's just getting a lot of worldly stuff, how to protect the outside, but nothing's happened on the inside. There's no real enlightenment, no fulfillment here. Let him understand that, Lord. Let him see that vanity of what he's doing, even though it might give him a temporary relief and feel like he's in control of his environment. He's still not in control of his emotions. He's still not in control of whatever is inside of him that made him run there rather than continue with you. And so that he knows that he has to come to you and have whatever hurt or whatever pain that needs to be dealt with, that you're going to help him with that, Father. And you're going to help him walk through life and be a hero, be a conqueror. Not a conqueror of people, but conqueror of what it is that's driving him to go after martial arts, and know that the conquering is conquering that soul, conquering Satan, conquering what it is, the evil that's making him fearful inside. So Lord, we come against this spirit, but we know that you have to use that to draw him to you so that he can understand what it is in his heart he needs to deal with. And the Lord, you know what that is. We don't know for sure, but I'm kind of suspected it's something fearful, and he's trying to protect himself, and he's got anger. And Lord, help him to understand what this is all about so that he can come to terms with you, and you can help and bring him into kingdom with love and help him let these things go. And we cast down these demons that are holding them captive. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you, Lord. All right, anyone else? Faith, folks, is it's standing when everything else fails. That's what it is. It's just standing in your faith, staring the enemy down, staying there until you get results. When everybody else has run, you're still there standing. The enemy knows it. He's going to leave. Because most people want to pray and then take off. But it's those who endure in their faith. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to stand. When all else fails, stand in faith. And when you do it, you start seeing the great miracles that Jesus had and everybody else had. All right, anyone else? There's a lot more to it than just reading something from a book and getting out of it what you think he says. A lot of it, listen to me, a lot of it is being led by the Spirit. You know when you're supposed to pray for somebody, and you know when you don't have the faith to pray for somebody. A lot of times, I'll tell you something else. A lot of times as a new Christian, I didn't know if I had the faith or not, but God honored it, my stepping out. A lot of people, he does that. When they first come to the Lord, he'll honor there, and you'll have success until you get that faith that he wants you to have. And then when the trial starts setting in. And that's when he wants you to, that's when he wants you to stand in your faith until you see the circumstance either healed, delivered, or whatever it is comes to pass. Remember, just a brief moment here, George Mueller, I've been looking at some of his stuff. He never told anybody what his needs were. He never told anyone, but he kept a journal of his prayer requests. And how many of you have seen the buildings over there in England that the Lord built for all of those orphans over there? Millions and millions and millions of dollars worth over there. He never told anybody. He'd say, Lord, I need to put another building up. And the Lord would give him the money. He'd pray, and he just knew it was done. And he'd go on about his business, getting ready for it, because he knew it was time. That's the way we've got to be. We've got to understand and trust the Lord. When we pray, we know it's going to happen. And we don't let up until it does happen. Lord, God, I'm telling you something. God's doing something. Yeah, he was an amazing man. They wrote a book from his diaries. Of nothing but prayer answers. But he said, Lord, I need this for that. I thank you for it. And he went on. Next thing you know, the money started pouring in. I'm just saying. Same thing with healing. Same thing with the mountain that's in front of it. He said the faith the size of a mustard seed will move that mountain over into the sea. That ain't a whole lot of faith. You ever seen a mustard seed? it ain't, you can push it through a salt shaker top. You don't have to have a whole lot of faith. You just have to have endurance and believe it and trust in the Lord. Do not doubt in your heart. Just trust in the Lord. You're here. I'm here. I know that when I pray, you're listening because you're right here. Glory to God. I know you. I know you're hearing me. So I'm just going to trust you. It's done. Go ahead. Who was it to raise your hand? Was that you, Andrew? Yeah, go ahead, brother.
Let's not forget what that seed is. It's the Word of God.
That's it. That's it.
Let's not get in the kitchen here for some mustard seeds, okay?
Yeah, well, that's the Word of God.
Yeah, you know, today, if you shall hear his voice, harden not your hearts. And that's the Holy Spirit speaking. The Holy Spirit saying that. That's 3:7 of Hebrews. You can't have a hard heart. That's a mustard seed right there, I'll tell you. You know, like, what was another good one? I was just thinking about rest. And 2:10 of Ephesians. That we're his workmanship. You know, your work here, you got to enter this rest. You know, it's a rest you have within, you know, and it's such a lovely verse for rest. You know, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, upon good works which God afore hath ordained. Like, you know, like, wait a minute. I don't even have to be worried about my creation here. You know, he's creating me and continuing to create me. You know, people do get older, and so do spiritual people, babies, toddlers, you know. So teenagers, you know, like, and it's just, and you know, that's a good seed right there too. I'll tell you, seed for rest. Praise God. Glory to God. Because that's the only place glory can be given to.
Amen. Amen. 2 Corinthians 1:20. In Christ, all promises in him are yea, and in him, amen. That's yes. That ain't no. It ain't maybe. It ain't, I don't know if I will today or not. That is yes. Glory to God.
And it's yay, too. It's victory.
That's right. Glory to God. Amen, Andrew. Get fired up with me. Glory to God. Amen. Praise God forevermore. There's too many verses in there to tell us to hang in there. God wants us to get to the point to where, just like George did, we don't have to depend on somebody else to pray for us. That we'll pray and know that God will answer our prayers. And I'm not saying that, you know, nobody's there, but I'm just saying, sometimes we like to have a little help. That's fine. But for the most part, we ought to be praying and believing ourselves for it. And I believe it's happening. I believe everybody's doing that. I believe people are coming into that realm of belief and trust that the Word of God is true. And that when we pray, God answers. How many times have we seen that here in this fellowship here? Don't get me wrong. When we got a fellowship here, we want everybody praying. Because we know those prayers are going to be answered. Bless God, they're going to be answered. If the person we're praying for. Okay. You want to say something, Isaac?
Red-handed. You got me red-handed? I was trying to type it up. I was having real hard trouble. But I was just, yep, you got me. You just get first, 2 Corinthians chapter 20. I'm sorry. Chapter 1, verse 20. I was just typing up that verse 21. Now he that established us with you in Christ, anointed us, is God. And the word in there, I got a little footnote in my Bible. It says a little Greek. It says that it's also into. So the, if you look it up in the Strong's, it would say into Christ. I just thought it was cool. That was all I was going to write.
Amen. Anybody else? And that's just like I said the other night, we ought to be sitting around waiting on these things to pray for so we can see God's glory come to pass. You know, God's going to get the glory in this because this is what's happening to me. I'm believing God, bless God, and watch out, enemy, because I'm coming after you. Me and Jesus is coming after you. He's got my back. What's that old song? I can't think of it right now, but there was a song. We still sing it in the fellowship at time. I'll think of it here in a little bit. But we want to look for those opportunities to glorify God in our lives. And we do that by praying and believing when those circumstances come before us, you know, like I had this little cold trying to come on me there here a while back, just a few days ago. And I said, no, hey, what you doing? What do you think you're doing? You ain't got a bit of business being in this body. I am a child of the living God. I'm blood bought. You get out of here right now in Jesus' name. Take all your little buddies with you because I ain't putting up with it. And now, he went. Then he went. And that's what we have to do. I didn't say he went right away. It took a little while, but I kept rebuking him. And so he had to go. And that's what God wants us to do. He just sent up there smiling at us every time we do that. Check out my sister down there. Glory to God. She's kicking the devil behind. I'm telling you what. That's what God does. He loves it when we trust him to do what he says he's going to do. He loves it. Yeah, Joe.
I'm glad you brought that up because I got two really cool testimonies that I've been stretching myself here lately. Yesterday, actually, I used to always be, I wouldn't say accident prone, but, you know, walking into things and causing bumps on the head and all that stuff. And I'm looking now, there's like a counter top in my I live in a one bedroom apartment here. And so the kitchen's a small area and there's the countertop where I use it as just like a counter to stick all kinds of stuff on. And so I think I remember I actually had I bought a dome tent recently and I set it up here. Because I'm thinking, well, like I don't have much room outside, you know, so I went ahead and placed that, you know, best I could right there in the middle of my living room. I said, yeah, it fits comfortable enough. And then I stepped out and I hit my head on like right about here on the countertop. So I can all of a sudden I felt that rush of pain and I felt like that throbbing feeling. But I remember I just started praising the Lord. Thanking the Lord for it, and the pain subsided like that. No bump. I think there was a scar or a little bit of a, you know, bruise, but nothing major. And it actually happened a couple months ago. I was at work. I lost my my right big toe. I lost the toenail. I work in a warehouse, and we have these wrapping machines that like spin on a table. And they'll wrap the pallets. And I remember I was wearing regular tennis shoes. And on this platform, there's a plastic, pretty hard, heavy duty plastic pallets that sits, and I stick my wooden pallet on top of that and wrap it. So I wasn't paying attention, and I'm like sitting there trying to hold the wrap as it's going around, you know, with the machine wrapping the pallet, and the pallet smacks my toe. So, I mean, it started bleeding a bit, but I did the same thing. I just started kind of praising the Lord, thanking the Lord, praying in the spirit. The pain subsided. I mean, it might have bled for a couple minutes, but I mean, it doesn't even feel like I even lost a, you know, toenail. I don't feel any pain, nothing major. So I thought, wow, amen. You know, so I definitely stretched myself, but I thought, I'm not even going to begin to speak. Oh no, my toes hurting, you know, this, that, you know, cursed myself there. But I just thought, no, I just started thanking the Lord and praising the Lord. And instantly the pain just left, or it was like a second or two and it was gone. There was no more pain. Mm-hmm. And I think I remember someone at work asking me, you know, one lady, you know, I told her about it. She said, are you in pain? Are you all right? And I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. Yeah, I'm all right. So.
Amen.
Yep.
Could be, Greg. Could be. All right. Let me ask you a question. Is the Holy Spirit going to lead you to do something against the Word? It's always going to line up with Scripture, right? So, if the Holy Spirit is going to lead you into doing what the Word says, why not just go ahead and do what the Word says? I'm just saying. All right. Anybody else got something they'd like to add? And that, you know, there's a lot of things, variables here that needs to be addressed as well. It's your time with the Lord is precious to the Lord. And look, I get distracted as much as everybody else did, and I wish I didn't do it, but I keep praying. God's doing it, getting rid of stuff, getting rid of this, and bring it to my mind to sit down and enjoy the Lord. Praying in the spirit. And you pray in the spirit, boy, that builds your faith up too. All right, yes, Isaac, go ahead.
Yeah, I was reading some testimonies on UBN website today, and I was just reading some of these faith-filled testimonies. That's really good for your faith too, especially when you're going through a trial. You know, read up on stuff. And Joe just mentioned that a minute ago about speaking a word, you know, over a toe. And I was reading one of Garrett, my good old buddy Garrett, and his was, it's labeled, Jesus basically brought back to life Jimmy, right? And he had a buddy that he was working with and was on top of a 20-foot ladder, and it's him and his dad, and they were cutting this branch out, and it was real unsafe, and the guy, Jimmy, was like, hey, I'm going to go smoke a cigarette before I do this. Read the testimony. It's really cool. But he said, I'm going to smoke a cigarette. Maybe my last, right? So he went up there and cut this branch, and it didn't happen the way they thought would happen. There was a lot of weight on this branch. I don't read the testimony. I don't have it memorized. But when they cut it, the branch swung and hit him in the head and knocked him off. And they said that he was there lifeless. And his eyes went gray to where, like, you know, as if he was dead. And he wasn't breathing. They said he didn't even breathe, man. I mean, we're talking no pulse for like 35 minutes, they even said. I know that's crazy. And they were commanding him to come back for Garrett was praying, and he called David. And in the testimony, David knew Michael, y'all prayed and believed. And, you know, the guy didn't die, and he didn't have brain damage or anything. He did have some injuries. I was just reading some testimonies. I read one about a lady who got, who a friend of theirs, a 15-year-old girl, got bit by a snake who was one of the most poisonous snakes in the world. And most people usually just die out where they have to amputate the leg within so much time. She come out of it, didn't need any of that. Read another one about a guy on a motorcycle accident who, two things, this one's really cool. I don't remember who it was by, but he, two things happened. One, he wrecked, but he's seen two things as he wrecked. One, he hit his head and even his helmet split and he died. But in the other one, he was actually talking to there was a paramedic and they talked to him and he was okay. But he said he's seen that. He's seen two things happen when he actually, when the wreck was unfolding. Yeah, he had two memories. And that, I think he even, what is it? I don't know.
He wrote.
Yeah, but he had two memories of things happening. It was just so amazing. Anyways, I'm butchering it. But I was just saying, there's a lot of good testimonies that, you know, I read some today. And it was just really blessing me. That's all.
Yeah, those testimonies are a blessing, and they will build your faith up too, just like Isaac said. They will. All right, anyone else? Okay, here's something that someone sent me the other night. I'm not going to tell you who it is, but it's some great verses here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 21. And we can talk about this a little bit. We've got a little bit of time left. Wherefore, if any man is in Christ, are you in Christ? Yeah. He is a new creature. The old things are passed away. Behold, they are become new. I'm a new man in Christ, glory to God. But all things are of God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave unto us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not reckoning unto them their trespasses, and having committed unto us the word of reconciliation. We are ambassadors, therefore, on behalf of Christ, as though God were entreating by us. We beseech you, on behalf of Christ, be ye reconciled to God. Him who knew no sin, he made to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Glory to God. Hallelujah to the Lamb. I think it fits. I do. I think it fits. When we figure out who we are in Christ, He went to the cross, folks. He took all that sin and that sickness on himself so that we wouldn't have to. He reconciled us to him. Yeah, Pat, go ahead.
I was kind of laughing a little bit because I was going to mention it, and I thought, well, I'll just sit and listen and see what happened. But I had a kind of an experience this morning, and it's funny that you should mention that scripture, but right when I woke up, I got a text or some sort of alert on my phone, and you know, it's another one of those the world is falling apart type thing because the Democrats are in whatever. I don't know what it was. And it was like a thought, like it just hit. It, you know, it was the devil just planted that bad boy in there. And of course, it caught me, you know, I didn't have time to even wake up. I literally just opened my eyes and my phone went ding. And of course, you look at it. And at that time that it popped in, I thought, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not going down that path, because that path, I'll just say how it is with me, that if I take that hook and I start thinking about that thing, that issue, the economy going under, or the food crisis crumbling, or whatever, if there's always a fear factor that tries to get generated in there in you. And I kind of recognized it. It's one of those kind of things that it popped in, I saw it, and then I was able to stand back and say, wait a minute, what's going on here? What is this? And I think I listened to something, I'm not sure when, one of the teachings, or maybe we were talking on the Zoom or whatever. But I think it was Michael said, you just now said it, you know, when we start to get an awareness of who we are in Christ. And that was the thought I had this morning is, no, that's not where I'm going. I'm not going down that path. This is the path that I was going on. And so I started rebuking. I cast that thought down. Even though it is true, it's irrelevant, quite frankly, because obviously we all know we are heading into some horrendous times. You know, there's no, you know, sugarcoating it. It just is a level of, you know, how are we going to go through this? You know, it's like the Psalm 23. He leads us all through our life and feeds us and furnishes and gives us everything we need. And then we're going through the shadow of death for a purpose. There's a purpose there. But anyway, I started thinking about these things. What does God say about me? And that was the very first scripture that popped in my mind. No, you are a new creature. You are a new creation. You were in that. You were bound by that world system. You were a part of it, and you were floating downstream, but no longer. That's not the way it is now. That's not where we are at. We've been translated out of that kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are new creatures. We are a new creation, a new formation. Take it back to the whole creation story type thing. We are a new, something new that has, when God breathed his word in us and we responded and God made a transition by pulling us out of the control of that world. And in that process, we now were transitioned over into his kingdom. And by putting his word within us and the Holy Spirit in us, he created a whole new formation. He formed a whole new vessel that the world has never seen before. And each one of us that have responded to the Lord Jesus is exactly the same thing. And so I started, you know, casting those thoughts down and just started dwelling on this very scripture. I mean, I was speaking about it, basically, and thinking about it, praying about it. I didn't actually go and look it up until Michael just spit it out. And I just thought, oh, that's so cool. But anyway, it was God reconciling us, and he is still in that reconciling process, still doing it. So, amen. Thanks, Michael.
Let me also add to that a little bit. Take those verses there and speak them out loud for yourself. I am a new creation. All things are passed away. All things in me are new. I am reconciled to God by Jesus Christ. God has given me the ministry of reconciliation. God made Christ to be sin for me, that I might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. And you take those kind of scriptures like that and speak them out loud, it will change your life. There is a lady here that was taken down by a sickness way down, and she's an elderly lady. And we told her, you have to confess you're healed. And she did. I didn't really think she was going to come out of it, but I'm going to tell you what she did. And this is a good lesson to all of us. You could be sitting there talking to her, and didn't make her any bit of difference. She said, I am healed in Jesus Christ. I am healed. And I ain't talking about that. This is something. And she's sitting there, whether you liked it or not, you're going to hear it. And I'll tell you what happened to her. She couldn't walk from here to the bed, which is right there. She can walk from her house over to the fellowship now. This is just within a couple of weeks, I'm telling you. The confession, the tongue conquers the curse, folks. It really does. The tongue conquers the curse. And that's why I say, if you'll take these scriptures that pertain to us, the promises that God has given us, I am, blessed God, a new creation in Christ. Old things in me are passed away, glory to God. You know, I'm sitting up here, God made Christ to be sin for me that I might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. Glory to God, I'm just as sanctified as the most sanctified person walking on earth today. And if that's the case, he's going to hear my prayer. Amen. Listen, there's a lot of truth in that confession. Who you are. Try to do it every day, many times a day. I am a new creation in Christ. I am healed. I'll tell you something else. You can change your body by speaking the truth, just like she did. All right, Julie.
One of the verses that really, I don't know, just really jumped out at me in those verses that Michael read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 is verse 19, where it says, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not reckoning unto them their trespasses, and having committed us unto us the word of reconciliation. In other words, you know, he died for the ungodly. He died for the unrighteous. He died for those, you know, who were in sin, who didn't know they're in sin, you know, like me, like you, like all of us, like the lost. He died for the whole world, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish and have eternal life. But he, you know, he's not holding anybody's sin against him. And that, I think, was something that was maybe a pharisaical, legalistic view. I was thinking about, you know, whether these people are believers or not. Can I pray for them to be healed? You know, maybe there was something that crept in from, you know, from somebody somewhere, somehow, that I had this like mindset, you know, if there was a doubt in my mind whether or not somebody, you know, it would, you know, I could pray for them in faith because I don't know where their heart is. Anyhow, that verse really helped me to just don't worry about that. You know, you just be led of me. If there's a circumstance, there's a situation, somebody needs help, you know, that Christ in me can pray for that person because God doesn't hold their sins against them. It's not that. They don't even know that they may not know they have a problem, right? Anyhow, Father, I just renounce all that. If there's anything in me, any legalistic view I was holding in my heart, in my mind that was confusing me or giving me room to doubt about who and when and how I can do the work of Christ for somebody who needs anything. Lord, I just pray that you just cleanse me of all of that and give me the grace and boldness and faith and the knowing and the peace, being led of your Spirit, Lord, wherever I go, that I'm your hands and your feet, and you're always going to lead me to people who need Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Hi, Claire. And kids. Look at them. Praise the Lord. Oh, there's Daddy. Uh-oh, I'd bring attention up. Amen. Oh, this family time. Oh, my. Praise God. Yeah. All right. Andrea, we have a couple of people here in the local fellowship that have been on thyroid medicine. One of them lost her thyroids. The other one has hypo. Thyroids or whatever that is. I don't know what it is, but both of them are off of their medicine, doing quite well because they're believing. You know, they have trials. Don't get me wrong. They have trials. Yeah, I guess that's what it is. And, but they're believing God for it and God's working in their life. So I'm happy to see that you're off of it. Praise God. Folks, I'm going to bring this up, and it may, and I don't want you to get legalistic on me and all this kind of stuff. Yeah, but the medical profession is not what it used to be. The medical profession nowadays are a killing field. They're the number one killer of, by far, in the world. Number one killer. I remember what Dowie, Alexander Dowie, had as a sign coming into Zion, Illinois. Doctors and lawyers not allowed. That's what he said. And he had a disease-free environment, sick-free environment because of God. I remember what Lake did up there in, ever how y'all pronounce it, Spokane or Spokane, I don't know, whichever one it is. But the most healthiest city in the world, when he's had his healing technician school going on up there, they would empty out hospitals. And we're going to see the same thing. People who go to the hospital nowadays, they don't come out of it most generally. They have to outlaw those rather than guns, you know. Guns are a real small fraction of the killing that goes on. Anyway, you know what the number one killer is as far as murdering people? Anybody know what that is? Yeah, right now it's COVID. It's vaccines. But I meant if somebody got in a fight, something like that, it's a knife. Stabbing people kills more people than guns ever thought about doing. Go ahead, Claire. I get off my soapbox.
I think it's a valid point, Michael. I just want to give a praise report because I think some will remember that I prayed for my dad almost a year ago. He was going in for a knee replacement. And he was a very big runner, runs marathons, does many kilometers and miles every week and has, you know, had done that consistently through probably from my teenagehood up until now. And on a whim, he just was like, oh, I've got this niggle, and moved into Lifestyle Estates and listened to some other older folks saying, oh, just get a knee replacement, and just like elected to do it, which was bizarre. Anyway, so we went through that trial and he didn't really consult with anyone and just sort of went ahead and got it done. And I think the Lord whipped him a bit because it was hard. And we kept on praying for him. And so kept on praying the way we pray here, which was a real hard thing to do that in front of him, both in word and in text, because, I mean, that's just so weird for them. They just don't get it. And he would send me messages back saying, keep praying or don't stop praying. And then on Wednesday afternoon, so it's been almost a full year, he sent me a message. He's like, guess what, Pinaz? You better don't stop training. I'm back. I just did 8Ks in an hour, which is very slow for him. I mean, he could do it quicker. But the point is, we didn't stop believing. And what was interesting was that when they're going to visit us later on in the year, and they've got this list of things that they would prefer, cooking methods and such and other things. And one of the things was an exercise bike because he wants to exercise and he can't run. And I was like, if I buy the exercise bike or lend an exercise bike or something, then I'm not believing the promise, am I? Like, I believe what I've prayed for my dad is true. So I can't actually, in good conscience, get an exercise bike because that's the thing that he's doing because he cannot run. I have a treadmill so he can run easily. If he chooses, I just keep on saying to the Lord, the past 2 weeks, I was like, Lord, if I get that exercise bike, I'm just not believing in it. I'm just not believing in it. And then on Wednesday, there we go. I got the message and he's running and it's fine. And I believe that when he comes later in the year, we are going to run together, which has never happened, like the whole family. And I'm just excited. I'm really, really excited. And I'm thankful beyond. I said to him, I'm like, you understand this is because Jesus is still on the throne and he still hears prayers and miracles happen. And he said to me, you've got no idea how grateful I am. So I'm just giving all the glory to God. I think it's just awesome.
God, you're so wonderful. We just love you, Lord. You're awesome. Thank you, Father. Lord, hallelujah. Oh, my. All right. Anybody else got a word? How many's coming up for pot blessings? That's what I want to know. Okay, Julie. We'll be looking for you, girl.
What was that thing they did on Hee Haw that Grandpa, he'd ask, what were they having for dinner? And he'd go on. Remember that?
No, I don't remember that part.
Oh, I'd have to find that. That's funny. He'd go on and on and on with all this Southern food.
Oh, yeah. What you call it, Southern food?
I'll have to find it and play it. It's funny.
Okay. All right. All right. Fried possum bellies and grits was always pretty good. All right. Amen. It is. Baked coon's good too. All right. Does anybody got anything they'd like to? We got 7 minutes yet, or 8 minutes. 9 minutes. Yeah, Benita.
All right. Since we have 9 minutes, just need everybody to agree with me. I around June, beginning of June, when we got home from our trip, I found this tick embedded in my arm. And so Frank tried to pull it out and got the body out, and I think the head broke off in there. But anyways, we dug around and I think we got everything out of there, but it's just kind of bumped up and itchy and stuff. But I've already, you know, I prayed over it and believe, you know, it's just, imagine it's not really there. it's healed. And I just wanted everybody to agree in prayer that Amen. The swelling would go down, the bump would go away, and it would all be just the way it was before it even started, in Jesus' name.
So. Amen. Lord, we thank you for your healing power on that tick bite, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, the healing, the swelling is going down. The skin is renewed better than it was before. We praise you for it, Father, that she's not going to experience this anymore. In the name of Jesus, amen. It is done, sister.
Amen. Thank you.
All right. Go ahead, Patrick.
I just wanted to say, I know, I think it was Tuesday that I had brought up this thing about this acquiescence, you know, and so
that's an $18 word there, buddy.
It was. It kind of threw me back. I had the reluctant acceptance of something without protest. And I know at that time I was thinking and struggling, you know, well, is this sin? What is it? What, you know, what is the sin? Da, ba, 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 ba. And so I finally just yesterday or day before, I just started recognize it. I don't know exactly what it is, but it's of the old man, the flesh, whatever, the world inheritance package or whatever. It's so it was crucified in Christ, and I was raised a new creature. This was the thing that started me off on this when I spoke about this this first new creature here that the Lord gave me this morning. So I've been claiming that every morning and thanking the Lord in prayer about that very thing, that whatever that was or whatever it is, it's gone and buried. And so it will the Lord will show me or reveal to me what aspects, how he is setting me free, and you know, the consequences of that being set free within me, etc. So I just wanted to praise the Lord and thank him that he has that he brought me through that and will still continue to reveal to me so that I can understand what it is. I think it's always helpful to understand, but to also to realize that it's dead. It's a part of an old man that is buried a long time ago. So I just wanted to say that one thing, and that was it. Praise the Lord. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, Father God, I just praise you and I glorify you for the work you're doing in us, instilling in us the humble faith, the walk, dying to self, all of these things that you've taught us. And the only thing that brings all of these things about is your faith in us, the size of a mustard seed. And we believe, Lord, that we're walking in righteousness, because your word says we believe that, that's what's happening. You took all that stuff on yourself, Lord, so that we wouldn't have to. And I thank you, Father, for doing that. Lord, bring us to the point in our faith. And we do that. We get to that point by meditating on your word, speaking and confessing the word over ourselves as well as the people around us. And I thank you, Father, for placing it in us to start confessing who we are in you. Not in a proud way, but in a faith way. And Father, we just praise you. We glorify you for all the great healings, deliverances, bringing back to life, all of those great things that we're going to see here, moving mountains by the word of God. Father, I thank you that everybody here is going to get, we're getting to that point of where we trust you more than we trust ourselves or man. Man, we're going to see signs and wonders like we've never seen them before. I thank you, Father, for bringing on the revival, for bringing on the man child, for anointing the man child and the bride in the days to come. And I thank you, Father, that just like George Mueller, if we need anything, we're going to come to you and believe you for it. Write it down, because we know it's fixing to get answered. And I thank you for it, Father. I thank you, Lord, for answering all of our prayers for our loved ones. We believe in household salvation. We prayed for all of our immediate family and our extended family and our loved ones and all of our friends that we've been praying for years. Lord, we believe that you're going to bring them in. I remember the time, Lord, that this mama had prayed for her child to come into the kingdom, and he was wretched, very wretched man. And she died and went to heaven without ever seeing her son born again. But she believed all the way up to the time she went home to you, Lord. And after she left, Lord, he came to you and became a mighty man of God because of her prayers. So, Lord, place it in us not to discount what we see with our natural eyes, but to believe what your word said. And your word says when we pray, we believe what we pray, you shall have it. And, Lord, I just thank you for infusing us with you, Lord, and your love. That's the main thing, is to place that love in us. And we get that love, Lord, by reading your word, studying your word, and being alone with you, Lord, and talking with you, and then allowing you to talk back to us, Lord. I praise you, Father, for the times that we have with just you. Those are awesome times. And Father, I'm asking you to make it so everybody here can have the time. Wake them up early if you have to, so that they can get the time to spend with you alone. And I thank you for that, Father. I thank you, Lord, for all of my brothers and sisters here. We pray for each other. We love each other. And we have fun with each other, because it's in Christ that we have that fun. Lord, I just praise you and I glorify you for maturing each and every one of us to that place you want us to walk, Lord. That we can walk down the streets and see all kinds of devastation and it won't affect us because we know who is with us. And I thank you for that, Father. I ask, Lord, to give us all a good night's sleep tonight, that we would all, those that are fixed to go to bed and those that are got a day ahead of them, Lord, we thank you for blessing their day. And I praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Glory to God, glory to God. Well, all right, folks. Y'all be blessed, you hear? Amen. Love y'all.